The 2024 NFL Draft heads to Detroit, and it's time to see who gets the job.
Caleb is a unique and special talent throwing the football.
And what sets them apart.
The Heisman Trophy winner is Jaden Daniels.
All of the greats were hired here.
What a throw by Mahomes.
See who gets the job.
Are you ready?
The 2024 NFL Draft begins Thursday, April 25th on ESPN, ABC, and NFL Network.
Good morning. It's time to get up with Crunch Time in San Francisco. Which quarterback will they draft tomorrow night? Shefty is here with the latest. Plus, brother, can you spare a quarterback? Bill Belichick needs one in Foxborough. What will it take for him to trade up and get one? And is Jerry Jones infatuated with Kyle Pitts? The Cowboys owner is setting the record straight. And we welcome you in on this beautiful morning from the South Street Seaport. I am Ryan Smith in for Greeny here on Get Up. Greeny's on assignment in Cleveland, where he'll be hosting tomorrow night's NFL draft on ESPN. But we've got wall-to-wall coverage of the draft with these guys this hour. This is our dream team right here. You got Ryan Clark, Adam Schefter, Dan Orlovsky, all ready to go. Smiles because the draft is just a day away. They've been waiting for this day, and you can tell they're going to let it all out today. Right. Absolutely. Now, we're just a day away again from the NFL draft. The 49ers' third pick is still in question. So when asked this week about his team's decision, Kyle Shanahan said, and this is a quote, "I feel good about five guys at three. We started with one candidate in mind, but all have gotten better since." Okay, five guys, one day to decide. Adam Schefter here to join us live from Cleveland to suss it all out. So, Adam, what's the latest you're hearing out of San Francisco with their number three pick?
Well, Ryan, let's take you behind the scenes a little bit. And you mentioned Kyle Shanahan say, "We started out with one candidate in mind." And when the San Francisco 49ers traded up to number three, the initial plan was that they were comfortable taking Alabama quarterback Mac Jones at number three, but would have the chance over the next 4 and 5 weeks to do a deep dive into Justin Fields and Trey Lance. And that's exactly what this team has done. And as much as the 49ers love Mac Jones, and they do, I believe that the gap between Mac Jones and the other quarterbacks like Trey Lance has been narrowed considerably, to the point where over the weekend, the organization was really going back and forth on all these quarterbacks and trying to decide what to do. And I know there are people who say, well, you don't trade up to number three and give up what the 49ers did without knowing who you will take. I can tell you over the weekend, they did not know who they were going to take. But I can also tell you that the initial plan was that they were good taking Mac Jones. And that was why they traded up to three, because they were always comfortable going to that quarterback. But Trey Lance has been so impressive. He is considered the smartest quarterback in this draft, the smartest, and maybe ready to play a lot sooner than people think. And I think that's one of the reasons the 49ers are struggling with that decision. Now, I believe as of this morning, they have made that decision. I believe they come to a consensus here in the last 48 hours, the last 24 or so hours, to reach a decision. We don't know what that decision is, and we very well will not know what that decision is leading into the draft. But I think at this point, they do know, and I think it was down to, in the end, those particular group of quarterbacks. Mac Jones was the favorite. Trey Lance narrowed the gap considerably, and we'll see what ultimately they settle in on.
Okay, you know, that's huge news to think that they traded up for this a month ago, and as soon as recent as this weekend, they didn't know what they were going to do. So let's bring in Ryan Clark and Dan Orlovsky. So, all right, Dan, what should San Francisco do with the third pick?
Yeah, I mean, first of all, when Kyle Shanahan says he's got five guys in mind, I'm more of a Shake Shack person myself. They should take Mac Jones. They traded up to take Mac Jones. And my question would be, why not Mac Jones? Why not? Now, if someone's going to respond to me and say, well, because of the athleticism, I'm going to have an issue with that. Because first of all, again, you draft a quarterback different than you draft any other position in the NFL. It is about the mental, then the physical. It is about the skill, then the size. Second of all, being athletic, even in 2021, does not guarantee that you're going to be a great quarterback. And being an average athlete like Mac Jones is, even in 2021, doesn't mean you can't be a great quarterback. At the end of the day, it will always be about what do you do with the football at the right time. And Mac Jones does that better than anybody left after number one and number two in this selection. Now, Trey Lance. I want to talk about Trey Lance. Mm-hmm. I think Trey Lance will be the biggest flyer at the quarterback position in the history of the NFL draft. Okay, the quarterback spot is about repetition, reps and reps and reps and getting reps to get better at it. In the last 15 years of the NFL draft, there has been one quarterback that has been selected in the first round of the NFL draft that's had under 500 reps at the quarterback spot in college football. That was Mark Sanchez. He had 487. Trey Lance has had 318 reps. 318. That would be the least amount in the last 40 years of the NFL draft for a quarterback in the first round. If they traded up to three for Trey Lance, that is taking a huge flyer at the quarterback spot.
RC, what's your reaction to that?
Well, I think the first thing I think about is we keep talking about trading up to three and having uncertainty. I'm kind of switching here and changing that they traded up to three to not have Jimmy Garoppolo anymore. That was the reason. Let's finally get it out there. It wasn't that they knew for sure Mac Jones was their guy. It's that they knew Jimmy G was no longer their guy, and they had three quarterbacks there. And now, so you're thinking about Mac Jones, and, you know, for the last few weeks, because I am a Justin Fields guy, I've been saying, you know what, I think Justin Fields should go here. I don't think that this is Mac Jones' position. It's not because I don't think Mac Jones can play the position. He can play the position. He can process. He can progress. He can make the throws that he needs to make with accuracy, with touch, with velocity. He can do all those things. I think he can be a fine quarterback, and whoever plays quarterback in San Francisco is going to have a chance to be good. And so Mac Jones can be the guy that you take. But when you tell me that Mac Jones was your dude and now other quarterbacks have gotten better, how have they gotten better? Ain't nobody played no football games. You knew who they were in the football field and what the film said when you made the decision. So nobody's gotten better. You've just done a little more research. And I think in the end, it still falls on Mac Jones as the third pick, and he'll be just fine, even if not great.
Okay, so you think he'll be just fine. But, Dan, let me push back just a little bit here. Who do you think has the biggest upside among these quarterbacks, Dan? Because, look,
this segment done?
We know these guys are good. We know all of them are top quality. But how do you see that part of it?
Yeah, I think the biggest upside is probably Justin Fields from Ohio State. And it doesn't even sound like he's in the conversation, so to speak.
Yeah.
I remember saying to RC this morning, it'll be really interesting when this comes out, why Justin isn't. You know, I would love to hear that from San Francisco, and it's their decision. But I think he's got the greatest upside. Now, let me say this also, Ryan. While I believe that Justin has the greatest upside, I think Justin also has a little bit more of a variance of a miss, because there are some mechanical flaws in his game. I don't think there's as big a miss with Mac Jones as there could be with Justin or Trey Lance. Trey, because again, loads the lack of repetitions and a little bit of the unknown, and Justin because of some of the mechanical flaws. So while I think those guys have a chance to be potentially greater if you hit it the right time or the right spot than Mac, I don't think you're gonna miss as much with Mac Jones.
Okay, it's all about risk.
This is the thing, though. This is the thing, dog. Like, when you move up to three and you make that move, it's like, you know what? This is the person of my dreams. This is it. I got one date. I got one opportunity. I got to make it happen.
Yeah.
I'm not going to take you to McDonald's because I know what McDonald's going to give me. I know what the number one is, right? I know what the chicken McNugget meal is. And I understand that we feel those things with Mac Jones. But if you've been telling me, you know what? This restaurant, this is the place, RC. See, the service here is magnificent. The steak here is magnificent. Now, you know what? Depending on who the chef is, sometimes it may not be as great. And if you go to McDonald's, you'll notice. But man, if you hit on the right night, this will be the best meal you have in your life. And that person will become yours forever. I'm going to take them there. I'm going to take them there because I've waited all this time and I've given up all these things to get this opportunity. So just being fine or just having an opportunity to not fall all the way off ain't enough to me. If I get a dude at three, if I'm trying to change the trajectory of this organization, get that dude, not the dude that won't make you lose your job.
Dan,
but here's the thing, RC, because and this is what I would push back on, is I think San Francisco looks at Mac Jones way higher than a lot of people do. I look at Mac Jones way higher than a lot of people do, because I think there's very specific things to go play in the quarterback position that he does really well. So to me, like, I'm going to get a consistently great meal, like my wife does at home. What's up, babe? I'm going to get a consistently great meal that I want to bank on, that I know I can count on.
Don't nobody
want that chicken and asparagus, Dan?
Why? We got to go there at 8, 10 in the morning.
Every day, that could be good.
Look, I'll tell you all of it is good. I'll eat at the Orlovsky home anytime.
8, 10 in the morning.
I don't care what they're serving. That's what I got to say about that.
That's what I'm saying.
Now, let's run the hurry up. Let's bring in Shefty right now. And Shefty, let's start with the Falcons at 4.
Well, Ryan, after there goes quarterback, the Falcons will be on the clock, and a lot of people around the league believe that Kyle Pitts, the Florida tight end, is the best player in the draft and could wind up being the Atlanta Falcons pick at number 4. Arthur Smith is enamored with what Pitts can do. Many people are. He's got all sorts of talents. Even I think Mel Kiper said he might be the best tight end that he's ever graded, and he could be the highest tight end ever picked. Meanwhile, the Virginia Tech cornerback Caleb Farley tested positive for COVID on a COVID test that the NFL administered yesterday. He will not be attending the draft as he was supposed to. He will be watching the draft from home instead. He feels fine. He's asymptomatic at this point in time, but the timing of the test is such that Farley will not be able to attend the draft on Thursday night. And everybody's waiting to see what Bill Belichick does at number 15. Will the Patriots trade up? Will they move back? Will they stay where they are? Can they entice the 49ers to give up Jimmy Garoppolo? There are so many quarterback questions, but I think a lot of people are looking for the Patriots to potentially make a move here in the first round of the draft at the quarterback position. It's been a long time since the Patriots have acted on a quarterback that high in the draft, but certainly the possibility is there that Thursday night, something like that could happen, Ryan.
Okay, Adam, thank you so much. And obviously, we wish Farley a speedy recovery. Now, RC, want to bring you in on the Patriots. Should they move up and get a quarterback in this draft?
If it's their guy, right, and because I wanted to come on here and really cut up and be like, hell yeah, Bill Belichick, move up. You've done all this stuff in the offseason. But that's not how the Patriots move. If the Patriots have their guy, if their dude falls and that's someone they pinpoint that can be their quarterback of the future, then absolutely. But I'm going to come on here and talk some sense and be like everybody else knows. Bill Belichick loves Jimmy G. And guess what? Unless somebody else dies, Jimmy G's not going to be the quarterback of that team. Period. And so being that as it may, they're going to make their move to try to get him. And so you don't move up and you mortgage your future if you feel like you have a dude in waiting in Jimmy G of the San Francisco 49ers.
It's an interesting point. And Dan, you know, this is not a team that moves up like this in the first round to get a quarterback.
Yeah.
So what should they do? What do you expect them to do?
Yeah, I agree with RC. I think the Patriots, when it comes to their guy, need to be like, when somebody sits down at the table with RC and has a honey bun, they got to pounce. You know, if their guy starts to fall, they got to pounce. And they got to beat the Washington football team or the Chicago Bears to go get them, right? I think they got to be aggressive. Now, I do believe that what San Francisco does at 3 impacts what New England can do. Because if San Francisco takes Mac Jones, I think that New England will wait for Jimmy Garoppolo. If San Francisco takes Trey Lance, I think that they're going to be more inclined to at least give themselves a little bit of cushion and keep Jimmy G. So if I'm New England, I want to be optimistic and opportunistic with the guy that I want.
Okay, we've said it again and again. This draft starts at number 3 with the Niners. We'll see what happens after that. Great job, guys. Great start to the show. But keep it right here. We'll come right back to you. But coming up, Mitchell Trubisky is gone. Andy Dalton is in. The Bears desperately need a quarterback. Can they get one? Wait until you hear how their GM described their current situation. Plus, Jerry Jones sets the record straight on his reported infatuation with Kyle Pitts. I'm not sure it's what Cowboy fans want to hear. What should the boys do on Thursday night?
Delicious, meat nutritious, and the snack that packs a real protein punch. Wonderful pistachios, one of the highest protein nuts out there. Each 1 ounce serving has 6 grams of protein, giving you over 10% of your daily value. Wonderful pistachios also come in a variety of flavors and sizes, perfect for enjoying with family and friends or taking them with you on the go. And you're on the go a lot, taking the kids to school, hopping from meeting to meeting, shopping for groceries. Well, the good news is, not only are Wonderful pistachios a complete protein, providing all 9 essential amino acids, they're also great for all your adventures. So whether you're a pistachio purist who loves cracking open every nut or you prefer the convenience of no-shells pistachios, Wonderful Pistachios has got you covered. Grab Wonderful Pistachios and elevate your snacking game today. Visit WonderfulPistachios.com to learn more.
NBA fans, listen up. You've got to try Pick 6, the newest fantasy app from DraftKings, an official partner of the NBA. Getting started is simple. Select if a player will have more or less of a stat. For example, will a player have more than one rebound, or will a player have less than 3.5 assists? Pick your favorite players and compete for huge cash prizes. Download the new DraftKings Pick 6 app now using code PARLAY and take on the competition with your best NBA player picks. Only on DraftKings Pick 6 with code PARLAY. The crown is yours. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 18 plus in most eligible states. Age varies by jurisdiction. Eligibility restrictions apply. Pick 6 not available in all states, including but not limited to Connecticut and New York. For up-to-date lists of states, visit dkng.co/pick6states. Void where prohibited. See terms at pick6.draftkings.com/promos.
Welcome back, and the NFL draft is only 2 days away, and we'll have every pick once again live on ESPN along with our usual expert analysis. It's also available on NFL Network, and ABC's coverage focuses on the prospect's journey to the draft. Our first round coverage begins tomorrow, 8 Eastern, with all 3 days also live on ESPN Deportes, ESPN Radio, and the ESPN app. We have breaking news from the NFL. I want to bring Dan Graziano in immediately for this one. Dan, what can you tell us?
Yeah, Ryan, stop me if you've heard this before. The Tampa Bay Buccaneers are bringing back another member of their Super Bowl champion roster, wide receiver Antonio Brown. His agent recently told NFL Network just within the last half hour is returning to the Buccaneers on a one-year deal worth up to $6.25 million with a $2 million signing bonus. Again, that according to Antonio Brown's agent. Antonio Brown back with Tom Brady and the Buccaneers in Tampa.
Okay, so Tampa Bay taking back their big man. I mean, this is a big move right here. I want to bring in RC and Dan Orlovsky. And RC, I'll start with you. I mean, some people will say, okay, this was an expected move. It's a good move for AB. But what does this mean for the Bucs and their chances to repeat?
I mean, the Bucs are truly living by the phrase, run it back. They've absolutely run it back. You bring back all of your starters and now also Antonio Brown. I mean, this looks like a team that had chemistry. This looks like a team that was together in the locker room. And Antonio Brown, even after winning the Super Bowl, expressed his love for Tom Brady, his admiration for the things that he had done for him. And listen, I knew that this was going to happen when I saw Antonio Brown at the UFC 261 fights with Jake Paul. Listen, when you're aligned with Jake Paul, you got to stay in FLA. You got to be there to go try to run it back and win another one. And so Antonio Brown knows where his bread has been buttered. He knows where he's had the leadership and also the success that he had in Tampa. And so now he gets another opportunity to make a play there. And with the free agency and with the salary cap being what it's being, this is the right deal for both parties.
Okay, so Dan Orlovsky again, Dan Graziano saying it's a $6.5 million deal with a $2 million signing bonus on top of that. How is that deal for Tampa Bay in your mind?
I mean, it's fantastic for Tampa Bay. I mean, we're talking about this is their number three. This is their third receiver in the pass game, at least out on the perimeter. And so now AB gets to come back. Remember, he was only really a part of this football team halfway through the season. Come in, learn our playbook, learn on the fly, figure out not only the X's and O's, but where you're going to kind of fit in. What's your role going to be? And now he's going to get really a little bit more accustomed, the ability to learn this offense even greater, and the opportunity to play fast on the field and get to work. Think about this football team. It is significantly better than last year. Not a little bit, significantly better. AB is back. OJ Howard's coming. He tore his Achilles last year. He's coming back and he's gonna be healthy. They just signed Gio Bernard, who's gonna be a pass catching back for them. If this organization drafts on this weekend like they have for the past couple years, this will be a significantly better football team. So the fact that they get AB and he can work in between the hashes with OJ Howard coming back, man, you're looking at an offense that is going to be, with the offensive line that they have, this will be the best offense in the NFL next year. If they stay healthy, this will be the best offense in the NFL.
Graz, let me bring it back to you, because I think sometimes people look at Antonio Brown and they look at his season last year and they say, well, the numbers weren't there. But Dan Orlovsky, I think you bring up good points. I mean, he's got a year in the system. Graz, he's coming into this year.
Yeah.
He could do some explosive things in Tampa Bay.
He could, but I think to Dan's point, he almost doesn't have to, right? I mean, like, you have Mike Evans, you have Chris Godwin, you have all these guys. I mean, look, he's happy with Tom Brady. Tom Brady's happy with him. Everybody got along great. They won the Super Bowl. Nobody wanted to leave, and really kind of nobody did. So it's a great situation. Antonio Brown does not have to be carry the offense guy he was in Pittsburgh in Tampa Bay. He just doesn't have to. He does everything they want him to do, and he loves it. So it makes total sense for him to go back there.
Yeah, and RC, I hear you laughing. You know, when you win the Super Bowl like the Bucs did and you got Brady, it's not a surprise that nobody wants to leave and they want to stick around.
Yeah, I mean, absolutely. But also, when we talk about Antonio Brown, think about as the season progressed. You listen to Dan talk about learning the offense on the fly, being able to play flat fast, also finding your place in the offense, the big catches in the Super Bowl. You go back to the Washington football team game and the big plays down the field. He was starting to get more involved in this offense, and you could see how comfortable Tom Brady was with going to him with the football. I think that only takes a step up this year. I think he becomes more of a presence on this offense where they can truly pick their poison week in and week out where they have the best matchup. And that's what Tom Brady has been best at throughout his career. This team is going to be incredibly good from the beginning of the season until the end if they stay healthy. And this is probably an underrated signing when you talk about the overall success of the Tampa Bay Buccaneers this year.
With what the Bucs have done this offseason, with this move, we may have just gotten one step closer to seeing the Bucs and the Chiefs back in the Super Bowl again. All right, thanks, guys. I want to get you right to the performance of the night, though, because this one was incredible. The Nationals taking on the Blue Jays. I'll let you just watch this because it really is this good. Bottom third, Nats up 3-0. Matt Scherzer on the mound facing Vlad Guerrero Jr. Keep watching him the whole time. Look at that. Taking that slider deep left for the grand slam. Scherzer had a 17 consecutive scoreless innings going, ended right there. Now, bottom five, Blue Jays up 6-3. Vlad Jr. again, solo homer. Second of the game, Blue Jays up 7-3. And guess what? Jr. wasn't done yet. You know why? Bottom seven, Jays up 7-5 now.
Thank you, though.
Facing Kyle Finnegan, new pitcher, no problem. Vlad crushes it, opposite fence. Two-run homer, third of the game. Blue Jays win at 9-5. He's the youngest player in MLB history with a three-homer, seven RBI game. You see that happiness on his face from making history. Now, coming up, the quarterback in this draft who is getting compared to Aaron Rodgers and Patrick Mahomes. Are those comparisons realistic? We'll have the answers to that next. Plus, perhaps no one is more desperate for a quarterback than Chicago. Can the Bears trade up and finally end decades of frustration? You've got questions? We've, of course, got the answers. It's coming up next. And by the way, of course, we have Sneaky Hembo got this question. Who is the only quarterback drafted by the Bears to start 100 games in the NFL? We'll tell you who that's for and the answer after this.
Swimsuit? Check. Sunscreen? Check. Phone charger? Check. Don't forget to pack the 5-Hour Energy. It fits great in a pocket or carry-on, and the alert feeling will help you arrive ready for anything. Now get 20% off when you use the code 5HETRAVEL at 5HOURENERGY.com. Expires April 30th. One-time use only, not valid with other discounts. Remember, visit 5HOURENERGY.com and use the code 5HETRAVEL to save 20%.
Okay, back now for some Sneaky Hembo time. We gave this to Graz, but we had to give him a little degree of difficulty by telling him about it in the break. Who is the only quarterback drafted by the Bears to start 100 games in the NFL? What do you think, Dan?
You know, as often as Hembo comes up with these brutal Bears quarterback questions, you know there aren't a lot of great choices here, but I feel like it has to be Jim Harbaugh. I just don't see who else it could be. Is it Harbaugh?
You are correct. The answer is Jim Harbaugh. Look at Hembo. Oh, I'll get you tomorrow. They drafted him in 1987. He started 140 games. Check out this scoreboard, by the way. Graz is owning Hembo, 20-16. I mean, when you consider Hembo gets paid for this, I mean, this is his job. He's supposed to be stumping you. What's going on? All right, time to run the hurry up. Graz, take it away.
The Washington football team may be the most likely team to trade up from the bottom half of the first round to the top half for a quarterback. They've been working on trying to figure out a way to do that. Well, whether they'll be successful obviously depends on who goes three and how soon the next two become available. But Washington looking toward the future at the position. Trey Lance is a player, if he doesn't go to the 49ers at three, that has intrigued Washington during this draft process. So don't be surprised if they make a move up to try and get him if he remains available. The Green Bay Packers are not going to trade up for a quarterback in the first round, although I would have said the same thing last year, and they did. But I don't think they'll do it 2 years in a row, Ryan. Look, the Packers are looking, obviously, big picture, as they always do. Could they take a receiver in the first round? Sure. Minnesota's Rashad Bateman is a guy they've spent a little time on. There are some receivers in that range where they're picking at 29 possible. But remember, the Packers always drafted the big picture in mind, not the immediate need. In terms of immediate need, the Jets have one at quarterback. It looks like they're going to be taking Zach Wilson. He's a guy that a lot of teams fell in love with during this draft process. I believe that if the 49ers had been able to trade up to number two, that Zach Wilson would have been the guy they were taking, as opposed to the three that they're discussing right now. They're not going to be able to get him because the Jets fell in love harder than anyone else, and they're staying at two and taking it.
It's a really interesting point that they would have taken him if he fell to three. All right, so look, take a look at Mel Kiper Jr.'s quarterback rankings, his latest prospects. Unsurprisingly, he's got all five of the big-name quarterbacks ranked in the top 15 in order. They go Trevor Lawrence, Justin Fields, then Zach Wilson, then Mac Jones, and then Trey Lance. Let's bring our guys back in. And joining us is David Pollack. And David, I want to start with you and talk a little bit about Zach Wilson. Look, I'm trying to help out Jets fans here. They've been hearing about Zach Wilson all this time. Guys like Greeny, they've been saying, oh, he's coming to New York. I wonder who they're getting. So when you watch Zach Wilson, David, who in the NFL does he compare to?
This is such a scary question because you think of such great names. He reminds me of Aaron Rodgers because he's got so many great crossbody throws and just stuff, throws that make you go, how about what? Like, how the heck did he just do that? He's got the great improv skills. Is he a perfect prospect? Absolutely not. Does he have things he needs to work on and with his progressions? 100%. Is he a big guy that you can say you can run it all the time and create and not get hit? No, you don't want him to get hit that much because he's not a big guy and he's got some durability issues. So he's not a perfect prospect. But when you look at Aaron Rodgers coming out, he had things he needed to work on too, but he had a knack for playmaking, and you've seen that in the NFL. Zach Wilson has a knack for playmaking and makes a couple plays a game that you just go, how did that happen? Like, how does he do that?
He's got that wow factor, yeah. And I'm glad you brought that up about Rodgers and the fact that he wasn't a finished product. A lot of times we look at these guys and we think they should be finished. So, Dan Orlovsky, I got to ask you, what do you see when you watch Wilson?
I mean, the Jets are getting the most talented player that they've ever drafted at the quarterback position. That's important. Now, I go outside of the NFL a little bit. I actually think that Zach Wilson reminds me a little bit of Omar Vizquel, the Hall of Fame infielder from the Cleveland Indians. Like, you got to think of these kind of underhand flips. He's got these great hands. And I think to play quarterback in the NFL right now, to be great at it, you got to have these twitchy hands that are just quick with their release, and you could do a bunch of different things with it, whether it's these underhand shovels, transferring the ball quickly. You see one-handers. We've seen one-handers when he's on the run and underhand flipping it to receivers, those crossbody throws that David is referencing. So he reminds me a lot of just a really, really special infielder. Football-wise, there's a little bit of Romo, a little bit of Russell Wilson, a little bit of Kyler Murray in him as well. But just his hands are so sudden and so twitchy. That's what sticks out to me.
Only on GetUp do you see an Omar Vizquel highlight during a Zach Wilson discussion. So, RC, where does Wilson rank among the other notable first-round quarterback prospects to you?
Ooh, I want to do like other sports and stuff like Dan too, so I'm gonna get there too. I think if you look at his film over both years, if you actually just take the film, he probably ranks fifth. Right, if you're just looking at the film and you actually include 2019, where there was some talk that he might not even be the quarterback the entire season, I think then you say, okay, when you think Mac Jones and obviously Trevor Lawrence, Justin Fields, Trey Lance, that film is at the end. And then I listen to some of the comparisons that David Pollack makes, and he's seen a lot of these guys more than us, and that's right. He does have some Aaron Rodgers stuff and some Patrick Mahomes stuff, but that doesn't mean he's going to be as good as those guys, but that doesn't mean he can't be a great player. player. You know, like think about if we compared somebody to Michael Jordan because he could jump from the free throw line or because he could finish around the basket with hang time. We wouldn't expect him to be Michael Jordan, but if he's Vince Carter, I'm okay with that. What Zach Wilson cannot be is Harold Miner. And so Zach Wilson has to understand who he is, play Harold within himself Miner. Some of the time, and then give us some of those huge plays that we've seen with some of those off-balance throws.
Harold Miner.
And that's an important point. That's an important point. Not the Harold Miner part. That's great, too. But Zach Wilson, if you go back 2 years ago, he was very average to below average. So it is something that they have to take into account. But just Harold Miner, had some good moments. Zach's got some of those moments that just makes your jaw drop.
We like Harold Miner on the show.
Right, real quick. I would have gone, personally, with don't be Jimmer for that. But I think that David brings up a good point to 2019. And the reality is this. The 2021 New York Jets will be like the 2019 BYU experience for him. Every single game that Zach Wilson lined up with this year, they were way better than their opponents. Across the board, talent-wise, they were way better. That's not going to be the case
Coastal
in the
Carolina,
NFL. It will be more like his experience in 2019.
It will certainly be a wake-up call for him. Now, guys, let's turn to another quarterback situation. The instability for the Bears quarterback situation continued this offseason. Less than 4 years after selecting him with the second overall pick, the Bears parted ways with Mitchell Trubisky. He signed a one-year deal to back up Josh Allen in Buffalo. Nick Foles, who rotated with Trubisky as the starter last season, remains on the Bears roster. He posted the second worst quarterback rating in the NFL last season. And after their pursuit of Russell Wilson didn't come to fruition, the Bears signed Andy Dalton to a one-year deal to be the team's starting quarterback in 2021. Here's what Ryan Pace had to say yesterday about their quarterback room.
I think if we did draft a quarterback, I do think it's a good room for sure. I mean, those guys are both have a lot of experience. I do think it'd be a good room for a young player to enter. But again, we're just going to take the best players throughout this draft.
Okay, I would agree with the fact that it is a room, and that's true. But Dan Graziano, what would it take for the Bears to trade up for a quarterback and get him into that good room?
Yeah, I mean, it's going to take a lot. Look, the Bears are picking at 20. If they want to get up to 7 or 8 to take a quarterback, that's a big, big move that may end up costing them next year's first round pick, which may be too much to pay. If they only have to get up to, 10 or 11, then that's not quite the same kind of move. Maybe you could do it with a bunch of 2021 picks. Keep this in mind, Ryan. The 2021 picks are not being valued quite as highly by teams as we normally see. There are teams that are trying to move back and acquire 2022 picks for a draft in which people believe and hope that they'll be able to evaluate the players more sufficiently than they have this year. You know, the COVID situation, the opt-outs, the limitations, the lack of a combine. The 2021 picks are not necessarily as valuable as we might be used to seeing the draft. I wouldn't be surprised to see some teams put together a bunch of this year picks to make moves like this to move up and maybe get a quarterback.
I'm so glad you made that point. It's a crucial one because we could be looking at this playing out in the draft in terms of teams less willing to move those 2022 picks. So, Dan O, how aggressive do you think the Bears should be in pursuing a quarterback?
Yeah, the Bears have to go into the draft with the mindset that Andy Dalton does not exist on their football team. He doesn't exist because Andy Dalton is not going to save you your job. That's just the candid. It's not that you can't get through the season. He can't save you your job. And the Bears have to do whatever's necessary to get past 9. Because that's where the Denver Broncos are. And that's the one team that I would sit here and say, like, probably is a little bit more urgent at the quarterback position than them. But it's a race against multiple teams. They got to beat Denver. They got to potentially beat New England, excuse me. They got to potentially beat the Washington football team. So what can they do to get ahead of 9? And I think Raz's point is super interesting to me that teams want the 2022 picks than the 2021 picks. That plays right into Chicago's hands. You don't know if you're going to be there for next year's picks, so use them and go get to 7 or 8 and go get Justin Fields or Trey Lance if they get there.
So, David Pollack, let's say you're the GM of the Bears, and you very well may be if they don't do well in this draft. Lay out a trade for us that could make sense for the Bears and a potential trade partner.
Well, it's ones we've seen, right? With Mahomes, we've seen it with Deshaun Watson. I give my first pick this year, I give my third this year, and I give my first next year, and I go up to the Panthers, and the Panthers just gave away some draft picks to get Sam Darnold, and I give them more picks than they gave away, better picks, and now I go up and I get Justin Fields or Trey Lance, one of the two, and I get my now not a trivia question. Now Himbo can't slight my quarterback room. I can go in there and get the guy, and listen, they have to address this. It's not – this is a good football team aside from the quarterback. You watch them last year, they're in the playoffs. They're a competitive football team. You get the guy at that position, all of a sudden this football team now becomes what Chicago fans want it to be. And you start to become a Super Bowl contender, and you start to throw your name in the hat and go, this is a team that I can rally behind every year, and it's an offense. So I think, you know, you give up those picks this year and you go up and do it. You've seen the blueprint in the past.
Bears management faces perhaps more pressure than any other team coming into this draft, guys. Okay, great job. Stay right with us, because coming up is one of the best receivers in the sport available for the right price. We're going to dive into that next. You're watching Get Up on ESPN.
Passion, drive, and patience. The formula for winning championships is also what keeps your ride or die alive. eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. Superchargers, roof racks, exhaust kits, LED headlights, and more. Whether you're into speed, power, or style, eBay Motors has you covered. With over 122 million parts for your number one ride or die, you'll always find exactly what you're looking for. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Because with eBay Motors, you're burning rubber, not cash. With all the parts you need at the prices you want, it's easy to make your car the MVP and bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply.
It's time for Ryan Clark to explain his tweet.
Get in the gym, bro.
Well, I just got buffalo chicken dip.
Baker.
Bruh. Lord.
As everyone laughs at the way I read your tweet. I can't even do it with a straight face.
Now it is time for Ryan Clark to explain his tweets. I hope I can do better than Greeny does. All right, so here's the first one, and I love this one. This just came in right before our meeting this morning. Man, if your coach is predicting you'll be on the team to predicting if someone is going to die, then that's bad news. Say, boo, want to go grab a bite Sunday? Not sure. Ask me then if you don't drop dead. RC, explain.
Like, why would – so that was off of Grimes' tweet talking about Kyle Shanahan said that he can't predict if Jimmy Garoppolo is on the team Sunday, just like he can't predict if people are going to be alive. So what you're telling me is that Jimmy Garoppolo, being a San Francisco 49ers, is just as hard as saying if somebody's going to die on Sunday. That's like the most morbid and terrible way to talk about a quarterback that's on your team. The only thing worse is when Dan said this morning – the Chicago Bears need to act like Andy Dalton doesn't exist. So one, Jimmy Garoppolo, somebody got to die for him to be on the team. On the other side, Andy Dalton was never born if you're a Chicago Bear. It is a tough time to be a quarterback in the NFL.
You are right. It is a morbid league right now. All right, tweet number two. I like this one. It's, if Trevor Lawrence is in last year's draft, does he go first overall to the Bengals? Is he picked before Joe Burrow? Explain, Ryan.
Well, I was just sitting around and I was kind of watching some of the Trevor Lawrence film and looking at some of the things that he could do. The dude can run. He obviously can make all the throws. He had a high level of success at Clemson. But think back to what Joe Burrow was last year. Now, he wasn't the chosen one. He didn't have the long hair. But dude was all football. That's all he ever thought about. There were times that he couldn't have relationships at LSU because he would eat in the cafeteria by himself and watch film. And then we hear Trevor Lawrence say, you know what? Football, like I care about it, but there's other things. Joe Burrow immediately got to Cincinnati and took over that locker room. And just because all I've ever heard was good things about Trevor Lawrence, we've never seen any adversity, we've never knocked him or doubted him, does he still go number one overall last year? I just didn't know.
Okay, now here's the tweet. Actually, this was the tweet from this morning. Are the Falcons even going to fill out a card at four, bruh? Dirty Birds sit at four, and we don't even talk about them, acting like it's 28-3. I mean, play the we might draft a quarterback game, or ooh, Look what we might do. Better make a move. Know what? Scrap it all and just draft day two. All right, RC, what do you think?
It's like the Falcons aren't even trying. Like, Ryan, we don't even talk about them at all. We started talking about them on a production meeting, which made me tweet this out. And I was like, this is like the first time I've talked about the Falcons since February. And it made me think about 28-3, because we know when the Falcons get a good position like number four, or they get in a good position like 28-3, they kind of stop working. It seems that the Falcons have stopped working. We talk about everybody else. We talk about people at 7. We talk about people at 8. The Dolphins at 6, right? But we never talk about the Falcons. We never say the Falcons are putting this news out to make people want to jump up to 4 and get a quarterback. The Falcons are just sitting there. They're doing nothing. They're throwing the ball on third down. They are getting sacked by Dante Hightower and fumbling. This is who the Falcons are right now at number 4. They need to make a move. This team is terrible. It's time to build. Let's get to work.
Okay, let's get to work. And you know what? You're right. We don't talk about the Falcons enough. So let's bring back in Graz, David Pollack, Dan Orlovsky, and let's talk about these Falcons. Let's give them some respect. Graz, what's the latest that you're hearing regarding the Falcons' plans at number 4?
I think most likely that's where Kyle Pitts goes. Now, look, could they take a quarterback? There was definitely some discussion about that at one point in the Falcons building. I think at this point they've just sort of decided not to, unless they get a surprise and the quarterback of their dreams is still there past 3. But, yeah, to Ryan's point, if you're the Trey Falcons, Lance. Yes, you're listening to a trade-down offer. I mean, if somebody wants to come up to 4 and offer me a ton – then I have to consider it. The Falcons have a lot of needs on their roster. Let's say it's the Broncos coming up from 9 and the offer's great. Now you're only moving back to 9. You can get a lot of good players still at 9 and add picks along the way to a roster that needs help defensively and otherwise. So I think the Falcons, that pick is up for sale and they'll listen. But if they stay put, my sense is Kyle Pitts is the most likely guy for them.
And Graz, let me stay with you on that one, especially if they decide to stay put there. What about the Julio Jones of it all? How does he play into this, and is he actually available, and for what?
Yes, I do think they would consider a Julio Jones trade. Look, they wouldn't be able to do it till after June 1st, really, for cap reasons. And it's hard to really handicap how likely it is and what it would take to get him, but the Falcons are definitely letting it be known that they would listen to offers for Julio Jones. Like, if they draft Kyle Pitts, they have him as a first-round pick. They have Calvin Ridley, a first-round pick from a couple of years ago. They feel like at pass catcher, they still have elite talent. So if you could get something for Julio Jones that helps you add to your roster, I think you have to listen, and that's where the Falcons are right now. Hard to say for sure he's on the move, but I think that's a guy that you could get if you wanted to try and trade for a veteran premier wide receiver right now.
So Dan Orlovsky, thinking about all the stuff Graz is saying, what should be the Falcons' draft strategy heading into this draft?
Yeah, I think the Falcons are in the toughest draft position out of anybody in the NFL. And that's saying a lot because they have the chance to get Kyle Pitts. I've gone back and forth what they should do. I think at the end of the day, I sit there and go, up until 8:45 p.m. on Thursday night, they should make everybody in the NFL think that they absolutely love a quarterback. That they cannot leave the first round without taking their quarterback of the future. Because the reality is this, if they do, fine, take them. Okay? But if you don't, you make everybody think that they have to go up to 4 to get their guy. Because they don't want you to take their guy. And then you could fleece somebody. And then at the end of the day, I go, don't make this too complicated. If you walk away from the first round and you take the best tight end that Mel Kiper's ever seen, and a guy that he would put as the best pass catcher in this draft in Kyle Pitts, then that's good. The NFL is about acquiring elite talent. And Kyle Pitts is elite talent. And if they get Kyle Pitts, and that's the worst case scenario, they should be incredibly happy.
See, that's interesting, because I think that leaves them in a great spot. So David Pollack, I look at it like this. They got Matt Ryan, they got Julio Jones. They take a Kyle Pitts. They could be back in the conversation. So what do you do if they're them? If
you're Heck them? Yeah. I mean, listen, you're paying Matt Ryan all this money. You're paying Julio Jones all this money. Like, listen, I don't need Trey Lance. Not right now. If I'm going to go try to win right now, listen, we see turnarounds in the NFL every year. We see teams that don't win, that draft high, that all of a sudden they turn their season around. The Falcons could easily – dude, Julio Jones, Calvin Ridley, Kyle Pitts – get you some of that. Good luck stopping that consistently. But I'll say this, if they're going to trade Julio Jones in June, June 2nd, if they trade him by then, they save $15 million of cap space. If I'm going to do that and I'm going to get rid of him, then go ahead and take Trey Lance. Go ahead and take my quarterback for the future. But if I'm going to keep Julio and I'm going to keep paying Matt Ryan all this money, I need them to work together. I need them to be high paid and be the best players on my team and going out and scoring 30 or 40 a game and hiding my defense on the other side of the football.
All right, you bring Pitts into that equation. And again, these guys could be back in the conversation. I know they had a rough year last year, but it can change just like that in the NFL. All right, guys, thanks so much. Let's run the floor, talk about some NBA, shall we? Kevin Durant, we'll start with the Brooklyn Nets. He scored 7 of his 17 points in the fourth as the Nets went on a 16-2 run to secure a 116-103 victory over the Raptors. The Nets became the first Eastern Conference team to lock up a playoff spot. And in San Francisco, the Mavericks went on a 28-0 run in the first half, holding the Warriors scoreless for 9 minutes and 38 seconds. How about that? The scoring drought was the longest in the NBA in 12 years. The Mavs won the game 133-103. Luka had 39 points. And despite 39 points also from Jaylen Brown, the Celtics would fall to the Thunder. The Thunder snapped a 14-game losing streak by winning 119-115. The Celtics have lost 3 straight and are tied for 6th in the Eastern Conference playoff standings. Now, let's talk some NBA right here on ESPN. A doubleheader coming up. AD and the Lakers facing Russell Westbrook and the Wizards at 7:30 Eastern. Then, 2 of the top teams in the West square off. Paul George and the Clippers take on CP3 and the Suns. That's tonight. Our coverage begins with Stephen A's pregame, SportsCenter at 7. Well, coming up, the clock is ticking on the Niners. Which quarterback are they leaning towards taking with that incredibly important third pick? The latest from Adam Schefter coming up.